You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Curtain up, theater people, and welcome to your program, Is Your Ticket, coming to you from Chicago this month, as I am working on my new musical, We the People, a theatrical song cycle, co-written with my musical writing partner, the fabulous Leo Schwartz. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your program, Is Your Ticket, is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, your program, Is Your Ticket, is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into theater in smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. I love theater and see as much as I can wherever I go. During the travels of the production of My Husband and my play At the Flash, I've met many wonderful people from all over the world in the theater community, and it is my honor to bring them on as guests to the show. Tonight, I'm bringing you a special show with some folks that are close to my heart. I'll be setting aside my normal show format and interviewing the cast and creative team of Leo Schwartz and my new musical, the previously mentioned We the People, a Theatrical Song Cycle, which is a song cycle musical about last year's election, before, during, and after. Now, normally, I do an opening topic, but tonight, I'm taking you directly to my guests. They are a great bunch of people, and I have a feeling they have a lot to say. So, without further ado, please welcome the amazing cast and creative team of We the People, a Theatrical Song Cycle. Hi, gang, and welcome to your program, Is Your Ticket.
Hi!
Thank you all for being here. They're actually here an hour early before rehearsal, and I really appreciate that. That's very, very nice of you guys to all show up. By the way, we're waiting for somebody, and that's Becca. She's also part of our cast. And so she might walk in the middle of the show, and we're just going to say hi and keep rolling. Okay, but first off, let's go around the room or around the circle and have you all introduce yourselves and tell us about your involvement in the show. Okay? First, let's start off with Ty Miles. Hi, Ty.
Hello, I'm Ty Miles, and I'm the assistant music director.
I'm Aaron Benham, I'm the music director.
I'm Travis Austin Wright, and I play Man 2, mostly.
Hi there, I'm Sean Baer, and I play Man 1, mostly.
I'm Neil Kelly, and I am the stage manager.
Mostly. Why can I talk? Derek Van Barham, and I am the director.
Yay!
Mostly.
Yay.
Mostly. Mostly.
Now, I previously interviewed Aaron and Derek on the show, so if you want to hear their specific shows, then you can actually go back and listen to them. Just check my website, and I'll give you all that information in just a second. So in the meantime, we're going to welcome Becca Coleman, who is going to walk in the door right now, mid-show. There she is.
Hi. Hi.
We're live on the air. Becca, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what your involvement is in the show? I know you just walked in.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Rebecca Coleman. I am an actress along with the company for the show.
You're playing Melania Trump.
I do play Melania.
She does. She plays Melania Trump, and very, very well, I might add. Okay, so, gang, what I would like to do first is ask you, what drew you to the show, We the People, a Theatrical Song Cycle? Who would like to start?
Well, I've worked with Leo and Sean before, and I had a wonderful time in the past, and so when they asked me to do this, of course I said yes. And also, this show is expressing a lot of things that I'm feeling right now in the political world.
Like what?
Oh, just like how awful the president is and how much of a sham the... a lot of things are in politics right now, and just how, I don't know, someone else go. I don't want to be in Debbie Downer, but...
Well, I had a similar experience with Aaron, and that I've worked with you guys before, and so even without having even looked at the piece, I knew you guys would take good care of the material, and it was going to be fun to play with you guys again. And, you know, there's so much anger, both specified anger and just general anger across the whole country right now. Everyone's angry at everybody else, and no one really seems to know the right things to say to deal with that. And, you know, they always say, if you don't know what to say, you sing. So it made sense that this would be a good opportunity to find a focal point for some of that rage and put it to song.
Hmm.
The thing that I like about this show is that when the election happened and the prior campaign, it felt like things, a system that we'd all relied on as something useful, and I guess over the past 20 years or whatever, has been starting to collapse. And the things that we used to put our faith in don't seem to mean anything anymore. They're just getting used, and I think there's a general fear that's going away, and what's it going to be replaced with? How are things going to work from here on out? And the thing I like that show, at least for me, expresses that, and that in the end, the spoilers.
sure. Go ahead.
that some of the last songs are about fighting and taking things into your own hands to shape the future to be the way that you want it to be.
Mm.
That's what drew me to the show.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. I originally saw the posting for it online, and I think I was probably one of the final elements being added to the show because I think the rest of the cast was done. But I saw the posting, and I took a picture of it and texted Aaron like, "Hey, should I audition for this?" And he said, "Yes." So I said, "Yeah." Okay. I'll submit for this. And when I got picked and added into the process and I read it over, I said, "Oh, this is definitely something I want to be a part of." During times of hardship, that's when some of the best art is made,
mm-hmm.
especially anything that is satirical or parodying something, or if it's about politics. I mean, that's why Hamilton is how big it is right now, too.
Sure.
Because we're in a tough political climate, and piggybacking off of what Sean was saying, when some people don't know how to voice their opinion, or it's a lot of talking over each other, a lot of yelling. Unfortunately, to me, nothing about this election surprised me. I was still disappointed, but it wasn't a surprise to me. So seeing how it's kind of been an awakening for a lot of people,
yeah.
makes me go, okay, well, maybe we can get some shit done. Sorry, I don't know if this show is PG or not, but it is no longer. maybe we can get some shit done.
you can say what you want. It has an explicit tag on iTunes. So,
oh,
if you want to swear, go right ahead.
Perfect.
Because, you know. Fuck is my favorite word. So, anyways,
you know, I agree with Travis, and I wasn't surprised, and I was surprised at the same time. And I think part of that is because I had hope that the people who I think a lot of people counted on voting a certain way
mm-hmm.
would have the self awareness to realize that Trump's campaign was in the long run not actually going to be good for them, but what. A part that I think I've missed was that a lot of folks, particularly like in coal country and so forth, didn't necessarily want to vote for him, but they weren't hearing anything that they could grab onto that would give them hope for a future, and that they're at such a loss right now for employment, for survival, for their survival, that they felt, despite some of the racial and anti-gay rhetoric that was coming out of the right, that they were just like, well, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
The term lesser of two evils kept being thrown around a lot during this election, and I just don't know how I felt about anything being considered the lesser of two evils. I'm like, so there's no good option, is what everyone's essentially saying. So we're just going to pick one? That doesn't sound about right. That doesn't sound like how any campaign should go. But.
Well, and there's a piece in the show where a Republican think tank is thinking of how they can get at Hillary. And they beef up these conspiracy theories, and I don't know, I remember all that stuff from when I was little. Like, my parents would listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he would go off on how, like, Hillary and Bill, la la la, like, get them out, la la la. And these things are still on people's minds.
And it's
like, that's, Hillary was not a great candidate in that regard, because people don't care what she is now, they only think about what she was like back then. And
like, those think tanks are things that you see, like, parodied in TV shows and cartoons all the time. You're like, oh, that's just hyper, like, that's fiction, that's just funny, that's blowing out of proportion. But, like, every campaign since I've been able to vote has been producing the most ridiculous candidates with the most ridiculous stances I have ever seen in my life. And it's like, this is a real life movie. Like, everything is something that I feel like should be ha ha, lol, this is a joke. I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to pop out saying you've been punked, and it's all real. And I'm like, wow, that's been my, I've run out of W's and O's.
Yeah, shit got real with this particular election. It was crazy. Let's hear from this side of the room.
Yeah. So, I guess, my initial draw to the show was when I heard how much social commentary there was, because for a while, like, I'm ethnically ambiguous, so I get, people assume that I'm one thing or another, whatever, you know, whatever's convenient in the conversation at the time, I sort of get pigeonholed into. So, when I heard how much, like, social commentary and sort of working past those blanket statements of certain ethnic cultures or certain ways of life or certain economic standards was going to be presented in this show, that's what, like, really was like, okay, I need to do this, because we're voicing so many opinions and, you know, lifestyles and different ways of thinking in such a short period of time, and it's really important to understand different points of view,
right?
To have a well-rounded, you know, educated opinion about what's happening and how you're going to react to the current situation. Because at the end of the day, we're in the situation, and, you know,
right.
Like, he's not going anywhere in the foreseeable future. So, you know, this is.
Well, there just was like a chill in the air with that comment, because it's scary. It really is. It's frightening that, like, one thing, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a news junkie. I watch CNN all the time. It drives my husband crazy. But it just feels like, how much more has to be dosed out of failure and controversy with this presidency before somebody will say, we've got to do something major?
Well, you know, it's interesting because he's sort of the result of what feels like 40 years of a strategy that has just been building upon itself and building upon itself to such a degree that the rhetoric that, like, it's all fake news and all of that stuff is something that people just take for granted as truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really scary that paradigm shift is happening. And I feel like even some on the right who are, in, you know, moderate or what have you, like, they're trapped between a rock and an orange place because they just know.
I feel like you have that one in the chamber. I really do.
Well,
if you just came up with that, then that's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
But because, like, if they admit that what he's doing is tearing apart our democracy, then they also are admitting that they've played a part in that, because they've been complacent not only during his presidency but the build up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose a lot of ground if they do that.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
complacent and complicit.
Yes.
At the same time. Absolutely.
You know,
what about you two?
Oh, yeah, go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to do the show because I wanted work. No, I have worked with Derek before. We know each other from college, and he asked if I was interested, and I had seen postings for the show online, and I said, you know, that it sounds like something that seems important right now. Reading through the script and hearing the songs for the first time, it did kind of give me a chance to process the last however many months, whatever, 8 months in now, mm-hmm. since the election. I grew up in Mississippi in a very conservative Christian family. Of course, I knew exactly how all of my family was voting in the election. And I had a conversation with my mom the day after, and she knew I was upset. And she asked me if I was mad at her for voting. And I said, no, I'm glad that you went and voted. I wish the outcome had been different. Sure. But I'm glad that you at least did that for you. Because if you're going to complain about it, you need to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And we had this long conversation. And I hadn't come out to the majority of my family at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something we didn't discuss. And I told her and my dad, I said, I've seen so much shit that people have been posting today, gloating and talking about things that are just really upsetting me on a personal level, not because my candidate lost.
Right.
And they have no idea that it's affecting me this much. And so I sent an email out to the rest of my family and said, look, you need to know that some of these issues, because for them, it was less about the social issues this election than it was about the economy and about jobs.
Healthcare.
Right. And I was like, this is my fear because I'm a gay man living in this country, and we now have this president and this vice president who have no support for us and actually want to get rid of us. So when you're throwing these topics out and just talking about the gays and all of this, put my face on that.
Sure.
And if you wouldn't actually say that to me, maybe you shouldn't say it at all. And I got great feedback from my family. I don't think it's changed any of their political opinions. But kind of what other people were saying earlier, they didn't like Hillary her entire career. They weren't going to like her in this election. And I think that was a big hurdle that she just could not overcome, is that people could not let that perception go.
Me and my boyfriend had this conversation shortly after, like, the results were released and such. And, you know, like, I don't blame Trump for, like, directly doing anything. Like, his hands aren't, like, literally on, like, the bigotry and all of that, like, that any one person is doing. But he, I don't know if he understands that he's, like, opened a floodgate for that to be okay and acceptable, and for people to just, like, say, like, oh, okay, maybe you'll get it right next time. Or, you know, like, it opened up a lot of things that I thought we were past, that, for all I know, people were, you know, keeping in their closet. And, you know, now it's okay to be openly racist and just nasty. Like people are, like, in the last, what was it, 8 months? I've seen nastier things from people in those 8 months than I have ever, whether it's social media or on the streets or, like, there's, like, a total, like, lack of respect just for human beings, and ethics are, like, out the window.
Well, we're a divided country, and we were like this right before the Civil War, and I don't know, like, this election, they just dug in. They're like, okay, divide even further. It's us versus them, even though we are all together, and that's the scariest thing for me. You know, like, we're all supposed to have the same values, or we have a government that only cares about one half of it? That's
not even.
That's not what the Constitution says.
Well, my mom, unfortunately, one thing growing up as a little brown boy is your parents have to have hard discussions with you when you start off so that you can sort of survive. And my mom and my grandma always told me, racism never goes away. It just finds a better way of hiding itself. And if anything, this election kind of opened a lot of people who don't often get to experience the racism that some of us darker folk get to deal with daily. It brought some of that to light. So people went, wow, I didn't know this sort of racism still existed. I didn't know these people would be marching out in the streets, the KKK literally just outside having a rally. I didn't think that this stuff still happened. And I'm like, well, I knew it happened, but I'm glad that everyone else is now aware that this shit is still thriving. And the only difference now is that a lot of the people feel less afraid about voicing it and, like, acting on it. So we're seeing way more anti-Muslim hate crimes, anti-black, anti-Mexican, even, like, any person that is in any sort of marginalized group, even Jewish communities are getting, like, swastikas drawn all over their memorabilia, and it makes no sense to a lot of people that this stuff is around, but it never really went away. And one of my weird, sick, and twisted pastimes is reading comment sections. If I see anything...
I was going to say the comments.
No. Yeah. Anything that does not involve straight, cisgendered white men, if there's a woman, I go straight to the comment section to see what sexist stuff will be said that will be completely unrelated, but just because there's a woman in it, there will be sexist things spewed. There's anything with a Muslim, a Mexican, a black person, any sort of marginalized group, I go straight to the comment section, and it's always sort of my reassurance. Some people think it's, like, sadistic that I do it, but it's my reassurance that there is always still work to do. These people are still out here, and yeah, they're hiding behind a keyboard or whatever, but there's still work to do. And as I've gotten older and gotten more selfless with, like, my goals and, like, me just going, oh, I want to be an actor, now I'm going, no, well, I have a job to do as a homosexual man of color to be sort of a role model for the younger guys like me that maybe struggling with how they want to, especially with the orange man as the president, like, how they want to find their identity and what they feel comfortable identifying and walking around. And I want to sort of be that role model saying, hey, be you, do you. I will speak out on behalf of any underdog, and I will speak out against racism, sexism, ageism, anything of any sort, just because it needs to be addressed. I might not personally fix it by myself, but speaking up won't hurt anyone.
Well, we have a song in the show. It's called Who Won, and it's sung by Michelle Hasso, who's not here. Everyone say hi to Michelle from when she's listening. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
We miss you. We really do. We'll see you in about 20 minutes, so. And it's about a parent talking to their child. And to me, it seems small, but that's like the biggest, best thing you can do. Is to teach your children. It's like what's the song "Teacher," you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, "Teach Your Children Well." That is so important, and we don't necessarily have to be holding signs. I mean, we do have to be doing that, but I want someone to know that if they're a parent out there and they're just bogged down with ballet and soccer and everything else, if they could just teach their children how to be good human beings, they're doing something. Great. I know that particular song, in my opinion, speaks highly to me. So, is there any part of the show that speaks to any of you in particular? It doesn't have to be for the performers, anything that you're performing, but maybe something that touches you or the creative team. Let's start with our director, since he didn't answer the last question.
Wait, but I want to go back to the... I was ready for the last
Are you?
Question.
Okay, all right. Well, then
I'll see if I can do both.
You can.
So what excited me about this show, I believe that all theater is political. And it's just sort of like the lens around the theater that we create that changes. So
post November 9th, no matter what theater we're doing, we're looking at it through like a Trumpian lens. So
sure.
All of a sudden, you know, whether it's Hamilton or Julius Caesar or Arturo Uy, like everything just sort of becomes relevant in a new way. And I think I personally was expecting it to take a little longer for there to be new work developed that was specifically in reaction. Like what I feel like a lot of companies are doing right now are programming things that just in this sort of Trumpian lens is relevant again, either because of who the playwright is or, oh, this was written during the Civil Rights Movement. So it all of a sudden has a new light to, you know, something like that. But
or they
to,
could put a spin on it.
Yeah,
right.
but to be able to do work on a new piece of material that's just entirely in reaction to the election so quickly after was super exciting for me, and the reason that I'm at this very table.
And we are so glad you are.
And my favorite part of the show.
There you go.
I really appreciate the moments of levity and hope in the song cycle. I think it is really easy to, just in everyday life right now, to completely get bogged down in the metaphorical comments section of the world.
Sure.
Where people just spew hate and bigotry. But it's, I think this show does a really nice job of finding important moments to either make us laugh, make us ponder, give us a little bit of hope. And I think that's what we leave the audience with, which I like.
Well, I hope so, because I have a personal writing theory, and that's that tragedy without hope is boring. It's dulling. We just go, you know, we're just dealing with so much crap in our real life. It's, you just start to kind of glaze over. That's why we like hero stories and things like that. But I want to pose the question to the rest of the group. Any part of the show that you touches you personally?
Well, I think kind of what you were just saying, I was worried before I read it. I was like, I don't want this to just be something that is anti-Trump and saying the same things that we're all saying and we're all thinking over and over and over again. And it's not. There are so many layers that go into these characters that we see for these, you know, 3 to 5 minutes in each of these songs, some characters that are really fleshed out, some more caricaturized.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it really gets to the heart of those people and what's important. And even the characters that we don't necessarily agree with all of the time. Like the song Perhaps, I know those people.
Yes.
Very well. And it is one of those things. I feel like everybody this entire election cycle was grasping for something, because the thing that frustrated me the most was that neither candidate really came forward to take a stand on anything other than how bad the other candidate was. And so when they had
Good
their
point.
Moment to say, this is what I stand for and this is why I'm the best person to take the lead here,
mm-hmm.
they both were fighting each other so much. And Congress, the Republicans are fighting the Democrats so much, and it's all partisan, and we've kind of forgotten about the people.
Right.
And so the finale is beautiful, but it's we the people. It's our job. We don't have to follow these people. They work for us.
Right.
We have elected them. We have to hold them accountable, and it starts at home, and it starts where we are right now.
Absolutely.
I think song that speaks to me the most, probably Lullaby. It's a reflective period for me. Like, I come from a Polish farming family, and it has sort of like that folksy, relaxing, like almost like under the stars kind of feel, where there's like nothing but you and a big field, and there's you know, no one screaming at you, there's no TVs, there's no cell phones, there's nothing. Like, it's just you and your reflections, and you're able to be yourself. So Lullaby speaks to me the most. It reminds me of home a lot. I'm not from Chicago. I'm from Pennsylvania, with all the farming. And so I think that's, I think it's important to, like, sit by yourself and reflect and collect yourself and realize, you know, you're beautiful as you, regardless of what the world perceives you as.
I love that song, by the way. I really do.
It's very valuable to have a reflective song like that after all of the controversy and all the opinionatedness that's been going on to the show, and it's something that we all need in times of reflection in these noisy times. So it's valuable to have that towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder to be more quiet.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
Going back to Perhaps, which is a song that I actually get to sing in the show, you know, there is a good bit of this show, and I think just about everyone working on it is coming from a similar perspective, a more liberal, democratic side, and it's very easy to look past the other side and be very angry and so forth. But there's also, you know, and I think a lot of us also now have a lot of fear, but it's important to remember that on the other side of the aisle, the people those politicians represent are also dealing from a place of fear. A lot of them are the same fears,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to forget that.
Right.
You know, and then mix in the message that of hate that they're getting, buying into it or not, it's just, there's still, I have trouble having empathy for those people, but they are dealing from fear just like we are. And it's important to understand that because we can never move, help communicate past that with them if we don't understand where some of that fear, justified or not, is coming from.
Absolutely.
I work at Red Lobster. And
yes.
Cheddar Bay Biscuits. CNN is running all the time when I can insist that our manager, would you please switch it from Fox News, please? I don't want to see Fox News right now. He's like, how come? Because he's the one who changed it there. And I think it's blown my mind recently that a lot of the stuff that we've been saying and thinking about the right, like they're running scared and they'll make up anything they can to justify their crazy beliefs, that was my manager's commentary to me about the CNN left-leaning news. He said, "Oh, look at them making up anything they can to justify their crazy stuff." And I feel like we're saying all these things about each other to reduce the other side to a stupid idea, or like reducing so that it can be simpler and more digestible as entertaining news. And what I like about this show is that it's about individuals and not ideas.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we wanted to do with Perhaps is to show that it's not that easy. It's not that easy to pigeonhole somebody into a specific category. You don't know. You don't know that person's life. Somebody may have voted Republican, but they are a complicated person who has a history of with family and friends, and it's a number that just says, just think about this for a while. Just give it some thought. Aaron, do you have a particular moment?
My favorite is The Immigrants.
Why?
Well, the music is super peppy and fun.
It is fun.
But it's also, I mean, it's just funny how quickly we forget just how this country started. Mm-hmm. And unless you are of Native American descent, then you are from
exactly.
An
yes.
and, you know, I think Leo really, like, just gets in there and gives us all these great examples of the value of people that come here, you know, that get to choose to come here to, start a new life here, because this is this was the land of opportunity at one point.
Right.
Exactly. And our first lady is a freaking immigrant.
She is.
And yet her husband wants to kick them all out, so...
I really like the very biting lyric at the end of every stanza in that song, that the immigrants are as America can get. Let's make sure it's that we never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a fun song, and it is biting. You're absolutely right. Did I cover off on everybody's favorite part of the show? Travis, I thought so. I was
it's
like,
okay.
Do we get Travis? Okay.
I come from, I'm one of those special breeds of millennial that loves self-deprecating humor, and I love super hyper-exaggerated things so that I can laugh at it, so it makes me feel less shitty that it's real, which is why Conspiracy is my favorite song, because as I mentioned earlier that, like, this past election seemed like some super, super intensified parody or comedy or some movie, and I was just waiting for that. Just kidding to ever happen, and it never did.
Right.
So, Conspiracies kind of lets me continue to live in that if I laugh at this, it hurts less type of land. And as we're at the song, where people sitting at it doing like a talk session, thinking of different things to just pin on Hillary. And so we're like, yeah, she cast a witch's hex, and she's the poster child for lesbian sex,
right,
and all these ridiculous things that get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's sort of...
Rabies with babies.
Yeah, that's...
babies
that's
with rabies, sorry.
I tend to live in, it's like, I have to make jokes about it. I was joking with my friend Jordan, because we were thinking about the most recent Philando Castile case, where it was very obvious that everything was set up for this cop to be indicted, and he still pretty much got off scot-free. And then after the trial was over, they released all these videos where everything in these videos and every piece of audio shows that this officer reacted the wrong way and should have been convicted of murder, and nothing happened. But the cops release all this information afterwards, and we have to crack jokes about us casually walking down the street, and maybe a cop will pick one of us up and do the unthinkable, but we have to laugh it off in order to be able to get through every day. And it's a sense of humor that him and I can have, because we're both brown males, that I probably can't walk down the street with Aaron and joke about. It'll make him feel uncomfortable. But I have to laugh at myself to get me through a lot of days. So that's why Conspiracy lets me live in that land of, let me laugh about it so that I can sleep tonight and not stay up awake all night.
Right, obsessing about it.
Exactly.
I belong to a writer's group back in New York where I live, and I talk about it a lot on my show. And they love that song. They've read the whole entire show, and they don't sing, though. They just say the words. Well, sometimes they try to sing, but some of them actually can sing, but they give us a break. And they love that song. They laughed about it every time we would read through it. It's so biting, and I agree with you. I'd have to say that I'm going to go back and say that my favorite piece is Who Won, and it's because I think I told you guys this, but I had asked my sister as a mom to write an essay about how she felt, and when she had to talk to her kids, and she has an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and she was very, very much affected by it, so a lot of what she wrote went into that song. So it, you know, it's my sister's. It's my little sister, so you guys know how that goes. So, anyways.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Tell our audience why they should come see this show.
I will go back to say the same thing that my reasoning for Conspiracy being my favorite song. If you sometimes theater is supposed to be like your escape from the real world, but sometimes you don't know how to cope with the real world, so let's find a way to combine it. We're going to take real-life events, blow them extremely theatrically, the making of adjectives, sorry, but it's an escape from the real world, but also while also still addressing what's going on in the real world, so that you can let someone else do the thinking and just talking for you, and you might not leave feeling better, because we're talking about what's still going on, and you know that it's real, but we have to laugh at ourselves. We have to, and ourselves, I mean, us, America. We have to laugh at ourselves right now. Everyone else is laughing at
us. Or we'll cry, right?
We might as well join in on the laughter, and maybe that laughter will help us settle in, and then we can think of ways to change things. So come laugh with us, at us. We have to find a way to cope with it, and I think this show would be a great way of doing that.
Excellent.
Plus, it's funny, and, you know, everyone's attractive and singing, and... See it.
Well, you know, and so many of us are dealing with these issues on the sofa with one or two of our loved ones on a day-to-day basis, but not really going beyond that. And I think coming to see this show and experiencing what it's like to be in a group of people who are all feeling the same way, even if they're on opposite sides of the aisle, they're all feeling the same way. Having that experience might be a way of realizing, no, you're not stuck in the comments section. You can actually get out and meet other people and maybe find people who you can eventually work with to make a difference.
Sure.
Well, and everyone in this group, sorry to jump back in, but everyone in the cast is from some sort of marginalized demographic, whether it be African American, Latino, woman, Jewish, homosexual. We are all representing different voices in this world, too. And the thing about the show is that all of those voices are represented as well. And there is a place for you in this show.
Mm-hmm.
For you, something you can take out of the show and pull and say, this is about me, this is bringing me comfort. So take that as another incentive.
Yeah, I think there's close to 50 different either characters or if you're not playing a character, then you're singing a song that was completely different than what you've sang throughout the show. So you definitely, yeah, it's like that. Aaron, tell us.
Well,
talk to us.
I remember after the election, and Leo posted on Facebook, I'm writing a song cycle, or something like that. And one, I was excited because when Leo gets political, he gets in it, and I appreciate that.
Let's all say hi to Leo. Hi, Leo.
Hi, Leo.
We miss you.
Two, and also, like, this is the time to do art about this, you know? Like, say something, you know? Say what you believe, and you know what? Then there will be a discussion about it, and guess what? That's how we all get to know about each other, you know? So this is a great, like, Leo and Sean put up, you know, and they showed up and they made the show, and I think it's important that we do it, and we do it as best we can.
Thank you. We wrote it in a record 4.5 to 5 months. That's not, which is like unheard of. So
I know I'm doing that too. Like, I'm like, you know what? Anything could happen tomorrow. Do what you are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't wait around.
I guess going off of that, I guess my little catchphrase always with theater is if I get at least two people to walk out of this theater and have a discussion, then I did my job. Getting people to talk face to face instead of through text or Facebook.
Tweets.
Yeah, tweets. And so I think it's important to see this show as almost like a therapeutic discussion method, if that makes any sense.
They all play therapy patients in one song.
Because we're, you know, inviting you to sit there and just observe all of these different commentaries without expecting anything out of you besides going out into the world, feeling a little better about yourself, or maybe a little more, cynical. I don't know. Whatever you're going to feel, I can't,
feel something.
Predict that. Just feel something. Right? Because I feel like so many people have, like, shut off, the emotional part of their being.
So feel a little brave. A little braver than when you walked in. but you can make a change.
Yeah.
Even if it's, even if you think it's slight.
Yeah, to kind of actually jump on that. I think all of us had so many emotional responses and all of these feelings that came up after the election and in the months that have followed, that it's hard to contextualize everything and it's hard to put things into words. And I feel like for me, things that I was grappling with and struggling with how to express my feelings about, the show has done that for me in some of the songs and in some of the commentary. Or it's made me see something in a different light and hear something that I my ears just weren't tuned to previously. And for me, theater is all about connecting with the audience, with the actors, and just connecting people to other people. I mean, we're all living on the same planet. We have to connect or it's not going to work. And so this show really does a good job of connecting such a diverse group of people that make this country what it is, into a 75-minute little enjoyable evening.
Song cycle.
Ditto.
Oh my god. That, ditto means wrap it up. Ty, do you want to?
Oh, no.
Do you want to? You gave us our first word before we go into me having everybody give their social information. Would you, or their social media information? Would you like to give the last word?
Come see it for the lovely music.
Wow, okay, all right.
Good last word. Good last word.
Okay, before I go, I want to give the people in this room an opportunity to give out their social media information and tell us what they've been working on. So, is there anybody in here who would like to do that? Raise hands. There we go. Okay, we're going to start over here with Aaron.
I just joined Twitter the other day, guys.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going in.
Hashtag newbie.
I know, right? I just did it so I can follow the drag queens that I like. but I think my name is Aaron J. Benham on Twitter. At Aaron, whatever. Whatever. I don't post anything.
You will.
You will.
Just wait.
In addition to this, I'm music directing a show called Triassic Park. Think about it.
Love it.
That opens a couple weeks after we do this. And then this fall, I wrote a show that Helena Handbag is doing.
Wow.
It's called Bewildered. Come check it out.
Cool. I'll fly out for it.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. Travis?
All of my social media handles are the same. It's at I Am Travi Austin. Come to Chicago Shakespeare this summer and see Madagascar. That literally is the stage adaptation of the cute kids movie.
Whoa.
I'm doing that, and it's going to be really fun. I've been wanting to work at the theater for a long time.
Aww.
And I have a Christmas CD coming out November 6th.
What?
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have
awesome.
30 Chicago artists singing on it.
Wow.
31
wow.
Chicago
wow.
singers sing,
oh
singing
God.
On it. 12 tracks. So
that's
you'll
beautiful.
Find that information
nice.
On my social media, too. So there's your incentive.
There
to
we go.
Me.
All right, my Twitter and my Instagram are both at Sean Baer, and that's SHAUNBAER. And
like
one
the sheep.
Yes, like Sean. Yes, exactly. And one of the projects that's out in the universe that I'm very, very proud of is the web series that I created, wrote, and starred in called Humane Resources. You can check it out at humaneresources.tv. It's an office comedy set in an animal shelter.
Okay, interesting.
Found my tag. So
okay.
On Twitter, because I'm clearly on there a lot, is @Becca_Coleman90. Really complicated.
Yes.
I mostly use it to follow Bette Midler and all of the sassy things she has to say in her everyday life. But I do have stuff on YouTube. Just look up Rebecca Coleman. And every day it's sort of different. One day I'm writing, another day I'm singing, and yeah. Keep an eye out. Something will come out this year.
I love that. That's great. That's so, like, you know.
It's keeping it exciting.
Yeah, keeping it loose and
okay.
Probably get the exact same results as...
Day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. Anybody else?
I'm finishing up my college, my undergrad degree at Northeastern.
Yay!
In two more semesters, so you can find me on Venmo.
Or at the Red Lobster.
I'll have to ask my niece, who's 22, what Venmo is, because she thinks I'm old just for being on Facebook. Michelle has come in, and hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
She's come in, and she's a wonderful, lovely lady. Do you want to give out your social media information? Before we go?
I don't have a website, unfortunately. But, you know, Michelle Nosso, I'm on Facebook, and kind of on my second career now. I was an opera singer for a while, and then decided I hated it, and so now I'm back to my roots of theater, and I'm loving it, and just kind of finding my voice and my place in the world as an artist, and I have a lot to say, and trying to figure out the best way to say it. So.
See, that's how good the ladies are in our cast. They could just be like, you know what? I'm on YouTube. You know, you can find, if you really want to, you can find, they're that good. The rest of us are like posting and posting and posting. So, anyways, you guys have been awesome. And thank you again for taking the time to do your program. Is Your Ticket. You are all amazing. So, hopefully, I can interview you individually sometime. Well, those that I haven't already interviewed individually. I like interviewing people. It's fun. Okay. Well, folks, the proverbial 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. I'd like to thank my guests, the sensationally talented cast and creative team of We the People, a theatrical song cycle. Please visit flyingelephantproductions.com, and that's spelled exactly how you would normally write it, flyingelephantproductions.com, for tickets to the June 29th and 30th performances of We the People, a theatrical song cycle, at stage 773 here in Chicago. It's on the cabaret stage. If you'd like for me to give you a shout out to a show in your area or a mention of your organization, go to my Facebook page at facebook.com. Your program is Your Ticket. Give me a like and shoot me a message. I'll be happy to give you the mention. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at @programticket and visit my website at yourprogramisyourticket.com. Folks, take a little time to see a show this week and don't forget to give a smaller show some love. There's a lot of great theater gems out there. And until our next episode, good night, theater people, and curtain.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.